Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to my podcast, CPA Review and More. And today, I think we're going to talk about somewhat CPA review and also some more other than CPA review. And by the way, remember, I scan the globe looking for guests. All right. And, you know, sometimes, you know, this is a top guest today. This is not just, you know, someone from another review course. I had to persuade this woman to be on here. All right. Or did you persuade me? I'm not sure which way it went. But anyway, all right. I have with me, well, she's not here, actually. And by the way, I'm coming to you not from Maryland today. All right. If you look at the back, all right. And by the way, you know, everyone says, Phil makes so much money. All right. But anyway, all right. I'm at my second residence, vacation home. All right. Myrtle Beach. I'm trying to think what I want to say. Myrtle Beach. All right. And by the way, here is a picture that I took from my window. Okay, not really, but anyway, and you can see in the back there, by the way, that is not the ocean, all right? It's just two doors, okay?
But it looks okay, like— that's what ocean. I was thinking. I thought it was the ocean behind you there. I was like, wait a minute.
No, that would be another $500,000.
Well, you are the man with the pockets. That's what you just said.
I am. Oh, pockets, deep pockets. But anyway, I have with me today, Dr. Sabine Charles. All right. I can call you Sabine.
Yes, please.
All right. And by the way, she has more degrees, more letters than you find in Campbell's soup. Okay. All right. She has a DBA, Doctor of Business Administration. All right. And she's got a CIA, and she doesn't work for that CIA, all right? That stands for what? Certified Internal Auditor, right?
Correct.
All right. What does CISA stand for?
It's Certified Information Security Auditor, and I have a couple of more from ISACA, which is all related for IT information technology, security, and governance, IT governance.
And also, you're a Certified Fraud Examiner?
Correct.
And I don't know what CISM means, C-I-S-M. What is that?
Oh, yes. This is the Information Security, Certified Information Security Manager. Again, this is from ISACA. So what I have done in my career is really all these letters are all around auditing, technology, and governance. So it all dovetails, just like the CPA exam. We have all these different parts where we have IT, we have governance, we have auditing, we have accounting. So my career, I've really decided that those are the core areas that one would need to be a successful practitioner of auditing or forensics or an accountant. And I really went through those areas to be an expert in those. 5 years.
And by the way, I am presently working on a new certification, which most people are not aware of. It's called the CC. All right. And people say, what does CC stand for, Phil? All right. That is complete certification. You take one test and you're certified for everything. What do you think of that?
Some of us could be certified.
Certifiable.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, anyway, I printed out from LinkedIn. Let me tell you what she is the Chief Internal Auditor. She is your number one best-selling author, all right? What have you written there, Sabine?
So I've written a couple of books. So the book that has been an international bestseller is Empowered Women in Business. It's a collaborative book. It became number one a couple of months ago, so I'm very proud of that. And there are stories about women in business making a difference. And that ended up being a bestseller. In addition to that book, I wrote one that ended up being number 5 on Amazon, which is called Cracking the Code. And it's teaching people ways to pass certification exams, really professionals, not young people, but people who are working, needing to be certified to make more money and to find their passion.
That's exactly what it says here. All right. All right.
And I have a comic book I am so excited about.
Oh, tell us about your comic book.
This is a graphic textbook, which I've put together, which has, and it may make people cry, like snooze a little bit. They're auditing concepts, but I put it into a storyline. I love auditing. And so I usually tell people, if you use auditing, you could use auditing to find a mate. You could use auditing
find
to
find a mate?
Mate, yes, a husband or a wife.
Right, right.
Think about it.
How is that? Tell me how that works.
So I'm giving you the plot of the story, but of the comic book, but let me just tell you. So there's the planning, field work, and reporting. So in the planning phase, that's the dating phase. You're getting to know them. You're understanding the control environment. So you're getting to know the person. So then you'll start doing a risk assessment and you'll start thinking, okay, well, you're looking around his apartment or you're looking how he's dressed or her, depending, right? And then so you're really figuring out, what kind of things that I want, you know, your standards. And you're thinking, okay, well, is this person meeting? And then you'll ask questions, inquiry, observation, those type of things. So that's how I talk about it in the book. And so you use those techniques so that you could kind of wean out the deadbeats and you get your mate.
So in what chapter do you discuss the prenuptial agreement?
Well, that's the engagement. Well, see, it's the marriage contract. Right? Because the engagement letter is when you engage. But before you actually go through that, you need to get your parents' approval, which is the audit committee. So I have this.
You have to get your parents' approval? What happened? You mean if you're 30 years old, you have to ask your parents if it'll work?
Yes, you have to always ask your parents. So you go to the audit committee to kind of understand the fee. So again, I'm rushing through this. It is a book that I've put together, which is trying to make auditing fun. There are pictures and not a lot of words, and it covers all the basics. So that is one of the things that I'm working on that's going to be on my website shortly.
Wow. I haven't written anything, actually. I was thinking about writing a book called Super CPA. The Super CPA is the CPA who looks for the perfect set of books.
How many readers do you think?
You feel intimidated by that, don't you?
Oh, I am. How many readers do you think you're gonna get?
Maybe be myself, my wife. I think that's it. And I'm trying to get a big advance, you know, like the big authors get, you know, but it's in the works, as we say, all right. It's in and then of course I haven't decided who's gonna play the role in the movie.
You have to have a movie. That's right.
That's right. All right.
That's right. And the movie's not going to match the book.
Absolutely.
One of them is going to be worse than the other.
We're going to reverse it. So in other words, instead of the super CPA being the guilty person, all right, it'll be the super CPA's lover, secretary, all right? And this is getting, you know, now, of course.
This is not PG anymore.
No, I've gone to an R, well, an R. PG, you know what? G doesn't work. In fact, I was going to buy, you know, I hated accounting when I started working in it. And
I never wanted to be an accountant either.
So you know what I used to do? Every Tuesday, the Wall Street Journal would come out, papers, you know, and they had a section on, you know, businesses you could buy or get into. And one of those was a Jerry Lewis cinema. Now, for those who don't know who Jerry Lewis is, you know Jerry Lewis is, don't you? Jerry Lewis was a comedian who passed away. He had a partner, Dean Martin, all right? And he decided when they broke up that he was gonna open up Jerry Lewis Cinemas, all right? And that was all over the island, Long Island.
They opened, okay.
The only problem was, and why it wasn't going to make it, was they only showed G-rated movies.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah, mine wouldn't be there. But and I remember it was $8,000 to buy this franchise.
You know?
And
what year was this? What year was this?
Oh, my God. You want me to tell you?
$8,000 is not a lot of money.
This was, I think I got Thomas Edison as an investor. No, it was, I would say 1970.
Okay, before I was born.
Yeah, no, I was already, 1970, I was already 50 years old. But, you know, I couldn't get the $8,000. I remember that. But anyway, let's talk about what you do, all right? And I think it's really great what you do. There's a lot of people who take courses, all right? They're all over the place.
Okay.
And it may be hard to believe, but some of them really don't teach the concepts, okay? So they go in and they memorize everything. And then all of a sudden, they ask something differently and they didn't understand the concepts, so they can't answer it. So then they say, I have to find a tutor, all right? I have to find someone who's going to teach me the concepts. Because all the big ones, all right, they don't teach the concepts. In fact, I don't know of anybody other than my course who teaches you the concepts. And I won't mention my course. My name is in it, but I won't mention the name of it, okay? All right, so anyway, all right, tell us exactly how this works, all right? You are, what we call it, a tutor?
Well, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I'm really a tutor. I really help people tap into their learning style. So what I do is that I first do a skills assessment. People come to me when they fail. Most of my clients, they come to me because they've used other materials. And I, again, I do not only CPA, all other certifications.
Oh, and, really? Okay. Yes, I'm sorry, yes. What other certifications?
The ones I have, also massage therapy. I've helped people.
Oh.
Nursing, because I teach people how to learn and understand the underlying concept. That's why I wrote that book that's on Amazon. It's across the board. At the end of the day, I'm teaching people how to think and absorb and be able to recall the information. So I do a skills assessment because they come to me with materials, some your material, other people's materials, and I figure out what they're doing that is not aligning with their learning style. Once I figure that out, and that's usually my skills assessment, we come up with a study plan and then we customize it. Because I have women who are working single moms who have to study in their closet because their toddler's running around. I have women who are back before COVID, taking their sons and daughters to games and they're having a tutoring session with me in their car. I have people who are working at the Big Four.
They have a study session with you in the car.
Are they driving? Yes.
Are they driving?
No, when they're waiting for their child for their thing. Okay. Instead of just watching the baseball game or with a basketball
soccer.
Yeah, the soccer. So then they have me because I do it over Zoom. And so we have a tutoring session. So the thing is, I customize it based on their lifestyle. Then we figure out this technique that I've created. I figure out how many sessions they need. Either I teach them the material or I show them when they come to me with multiple choice questions, we analyze the question. And then I teach them the underlying concept behind the question that's being asked. That is the key. You could do a gazillion questions and still fail. That's the issue because the exam really technically hasn't changed because it's the blueprint. They change the blueprint every so often, yes, but that's the core, that's the exam. And if you focus on that, you're gonna pass. And so that's how I tutor. So it doesn't matter what material they bring to me because I go back to the blueprint and the concept that is necessary for passing. And that's how I get such a high pass rate. And you may not know this, but I am also a certified hypnotist.
Are you going to hismatize me?
Hismatized. And so joking aside, because people are so stressed and this test is associated, the CPA specifically, associate to their job that the stress level is so high that they can't even absorb the information. So that combination of stress management and teaching them the concept is so powerful. And that's what, this is why I say I'm not just a tutor, because I'm hitting this in different angles, not only figuring out their learning style, understanding their stress level, and then coming up with underlying concepts that they're weak in to get them to the finish line. So that's, I think that's a little bit beyond being a tutor.
And you use hypnosis to like give my a post-hypnotic suggestion, such as, all right, I want you to read, all right, and know and memorize all the FASBs, okay? And, all right, when you go into the exam, all right, and they say, I'm thinking the old exam. When you go to Prometrics and they say some keyword, I don't know what's the keyword, all right, then all of a sudden you light up like this, like a robot, and you know all the FASBs, you know all the statement on auditing standards. Can you do that?
It's not going to help my clients because 50% of the exam is simulations and they have to know the concepts. So memorization is only 25% around. So it's not going to help them. So yeah, I could get them to memorize stuff, but it's not going to help them pass the exam. But the point is that with hypnosis, what I do is visualization, because that's so powerful. And so a lot of times, if your mind is not with you, it's going to be against you. And that's what I focus on with my hypnosis, because I help them not only kind of calm themselves down, be able to kind of tap into, because all the answers are up here. It's just the ability to recall it is the challenge, because especially when we're stressed, we forget our name, we forget who, where we are, that type of stuff. So I need them to be able to be their best selves when they're sitting at the exam table on the computer. And also I teach them how to do a self-hypnosis. So after every testlet, they get zoned in to focus on the next series of questions that they're faced.
If they have a fear of standardized exams, okay, after they take the exam once or twice, they start having a fear, I think, of the standardized type exam, all right? How do you deal with that?
It depends on the person type of thing, but yeah, I mean, that is a serious question. A lot of people come to me traumatized by the CPA exam because, again, it's linked to their employment. So that adds another level of stress. And that's why it's so important to do the skills assessment, because during that time, I could figure out what is needed.
What's in the skills assessment? What exactly? Well,
so I break it up into three pieces. The first part I do, I look at what they've done. Some people like taking notes. They like taking notes in their books. So I tell them, take a picture of that and email it to yourself so I could take a look at what you've done. Or I look at their study materials just to see what questions they're getting wrong. The second thing that I do is that I understand their lifestyle, time management, requirements. I had a woman who used to take care of her mother who is very ill on the weekend. So that's a day that those days she can't study. So again, understanding where they are. And then the other one, and then we come up with time management, what they need to do to get to the finish line. And I show them my customized study plan. And then the last part is test-taking techniques. How to read a question. What's the underlying, the so what? How do you eliminate multiple choice questions, like the answer choices? Really being the recallability. I teach them a technique so that when they read something, I call it stop thinking process. You got to really think about it, process, and then recall it. That exercise that I, during my tutoring, I teach my clients to do. So in the skills assessment, I lay out what I'm planning to do in my tutoring. And I also have boot camps, which are intense sessions with me.
What's a boot camp?
A boot camp is when... A boot camp is like a question and answer. The boot camp is, so you come to me and say, I need you to break down, I ask you a question and I say, what is the definition of internal controls? Just to throw it, right? And you're not able to answer. Then I'll teach it to you. And then you take notes. It's more like a course. Then I ask you another question. Again, back to the blueprint. I ask you a specific concept. The boot camp is sparring with me or my tutors. I have other tutors who are on my team. So you're sparring with me. So I'm just making sure. And we have 8 hours to kind of really drill. It's not a spa day. It's a boot camp. So we're going through it. And then we're first identifying key things that you don't know. And I teach it to you and you write down notes. And then you could go back to your materials and really take that time to dive through. So the boot camp is a series of kind of intense question and answer, while the tutoring is going through the questions you've gone through. And then I really go down into the weeds in responding to questions and helping them. So the combination of the two really works well for a lot of my clients.
When a student fails the exam, do they generally feel it's their fault, or do they put some of the blame on the course they took?
I think people tend to blame themselves. And to your point, to your earlier question, people feel so deflated afterwards and depressed and traumatized.
Really affects your ego. It really does.
It does. And so people take it very personally. And so that's why I deal with the stress management piece of it. Because I've had people break down in tears to the point where I thought I needed to call some assistance, because I thought they're going to commit suicide because they failed the exam. Like, that's scary. So I would tell people, please, please, I know it's important to pass this exam. It is an exam. It is not who you are. It's just enhancing your abilities. That's it. It's not part of your being. If you're not a CPA or you're not a CIA, you're not nothing. You are still a wonderful person. We got to always remember that these exams and these things that we get are enhancements of our true selves. So I just want to put it out there, because I have to deal with, I have psychiatrists on my Rolodex, because sometimes I have to refer out, really.
Huh. Really? Who's the psychiatrist for? The students you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. It's serious. Because I'm not a professional. I'm a doctor, but I'm not that kind of doctor.
When would you ever bring in a psychiatrist? I mean,
when they need help.
Suicidal thoughts?
Yes. It's beyond what I could handle, and I have to get a professional. So yes, I have people available to me. So I do deal with the exam beyond. That's why I say I'm not only a tutor. I really help people unlock and become unstuck with a lot of things, and the exam is just a vehicle at times, because the way you approach the exam is sometimes the way you approach life, which is interesting. That's what I've learned doing this for so many years.
A lot of people are actually given the course, because there's a course out there, his name I won't mention. All right. Yeah. They went around and they got exclusive agreements with just about every firm in the country, corporations, and they don't pay a penny, because they basically get the materials from their firms, whatever, and then the firm has a direct billing arrangement with this review course. Mm-hmm. Now, as a result of that, they don't pay anything, all right? So the question is, all right, they don't pay anything, and they fail, and they say, oh, I didn't do enough questions. I probably didn't study right. So what do? They go back to the same materials, all right? And they may do that 2-3 times, right? All right? Okay. And it's interesting. Instead of saying, all right, why am I going back to these materials 2-3 times? Nothing has changed. I mean, when I open that book magically, all right, I'm not gonna have different materials, all right? What do you tell them? Do you ever say to them, maybe you're not passing because the course you took is not that good? Do you ever go into that?
Yes. And so, it again, I don't want to It depends, and yes, okay? And let me explain both of those responses. That's when I do the skills assessment, I determine whether or not they've memorized the answers of these materials. Because if they've memorized the answers, then I tell them you can't use it. Because you're not comprehending the information, you're memorizing the answer choices. So I usually make recommendations of other materials for them to purchase on their own. So yes, that, yes, please, you were about to say something.
Well, I was gonna say, can you give me an example of how you would find out that I'm memorizing, what would you say to me if I was that person coming to you?
So I'll have you show your Zoom, we'll go through a question, and then they'll get it right. And I'll say, so why is that the right answer? Why is that the right answer? Why is B the wrong answer? And I listen. Then I do, this is the skills assessment. And so I determine, okay, like you've been memorizing it. And then I look at their pattern. I look at pattern, because again, I'm a certified fraud examiner too. So we love looking at patterns of data. I look at the data points and I realize that they've been just trying to get hundreds. And that's not an indicator of comprehension. That's
they're
just
trying to get hundreds on the exam?
Well, hundreds on the practice exam.
Oh, on the assessment.
On the practice, yeah. And so they're just going over and over and over, like, you know, you're just spinning and then you just get 100 because you memorized all the answers. And that's how I could tell. Then I sway them off that material because it's just not helpful.
With the task-based simulations, all right? Yeah. How do you prepare them for those? They're really like case studies in a way, aren't they?
Yeah. And as they're built to have people think things through. So if you know the concept, then you will be able to handle any case study. So that's why when I'm tutoring, I really get my clients to understand the underlying concepts. And when they come to me, either through boot camp or with tutoring, you know, looking at multiple choice questions, we ask the question, so what? What is the underlying concept that's being taught to you? What is the point? I'm from New York. So I'm like, come on, so what? Like, let's make this quick.
What are you from? What was that again?
New York.
New York?
Yes.
I thought I heard an echo. Do I say that too? I think I did.
A cup of all coffee. Right, you're talking to me? But you know, so I'm from New York, so we don't like wasting time. So I'm like, tell me what's the answer. And then if they can't tell me, then we teach them the concept, because now the simulations are easy. When you read the question, you're ready, your mind is there. Your mind is a computer. You have to set it up and know, you read it and you start thinking about the concept and then you apply. Again, it is the blueprint, ladies and gentlemen. That's the exam. So if you know that, then you could react to the simulations and you don't have to do 15, 95, 132 simulations or multiple choice questions for you to be successful.
If it's the blueprint, okay, why doesn't everyone study, go over the blueprints? In fact, it's, you know, they did a seminar at SEPA and they found out that 35% of the people still don't know what the blueprints are.
I know. It's interesting because I do come across, I do show that with my courses, I don't know, tutoring sessions and boot camps that I provide. I don't know the origin of why certain materials don't really focus on that, but my job is to make sure that my clients pass. I'm not worried about what other people are doing per se. Yeah. I know what I do to make sure that my clients are happy and then they give referrals and I'm still in business, knock on wood type of thing. I don't know, but I go back to the source. I actually, when I teach, I tell them, this is what you need to know. If you want to learn more, go here. And I send them to the regulation or I send them to the framework so they could read the source document. Because at the end of the day, that is what they're teaching. And then when you start reading it, you're like, oh, this is where some of these tutoring materials come from. They sound quite similar. So going back to the source and understanding what they're asking and what they want to test is the way to go.
Do they call you Dr. By the birthday, Dr. Saban, I'm looking at it. They call you Dr. Charles or Dr. Saban?
No. Actually, my Sabine. Instagram.
How do you pronounce it again? Is it
Sabine? But you know what? It's actually French. My Instagram name is the CPA doctor. I have a cartoon character, the CPA doctor. That's my Instagram name. But I mean, Sabine is fine. I mean, the student is calling Professor Charles or something, or Professor Sabine. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I'm just here to serve and help educate the future.
If I'm a student coming to you and I say, you know, the blueprints, I get the idea to tell you what's the tasks they're going to ask you on the exam. They're a map, aren't they? A map?
Yeah, they're if you go through the blueprint, there's like four rows of information where they application analysis, memory, and I forget.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
You can tell how they're going to test a blueprint because if you go to the AICPA.org website and you look, say, at the blueprint for financial accounting, right? Mm-hmm. What are those captions on the top? It's you just said it.
Right. Yeah, and those are the captions, and then they tell you what are going to be just memory, kind of recallability. The other one is applying. So then the analysis and applying usually are sims, right? So then those are kind of like the simish type thing because you're going to have to do a little bit more. And I forgot the middle. There's four.
Yeah, I mean, I think the there's one column that says something and understanding.
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah,
and there are that four of them. That's the multiple choice.
Right.
All right. And then there's, like you said, analysis. All right.
And evaluation.
Now, I'm trying to remember, the only part that analysis applies to, all right, I think auditing is analysis, isn't it? All right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember them.
Yeah, I mean, one part, but the thing is, could you have, for example, where they say, all right, they're going to ask.
Oh, yeah. This,
yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I'm looking at it right now. So it's like remembering and understanding. I'm
multiple choice, right? Multiple
right. Choice. Yes. And then analysis and application. So that I'm right. Just looking at the BEC.
And now which right one here. Only applies to auditing? Is it analysis?
Yeah, let me just look that up now. Again, these are all in the blueprint, so it's no need to memorize, but I was just, as we're talking, I'm just.
And also a subject could be, it could be checked off under the understanding, right? All right. Mm-hmm. And also it could be in the simulation area. You could have a subject that could be tested.
Evaluation. There's an evaluation piece in the auditing section.
Now, so, which section only applies to auditing? Is it the, I'm trying to remember.
I think evaluation. I just looked
evaluation.
At
okay.
Evaluation is 5 to 15%. Yeah.
So if you go to the auditing blueprints, all right, you'll see checked off. All right. It should be all the items. They give you the task. And then they'll say to you, all right, how's it checked off? Evaluation, all right? I think auditing is, I'd have to go back and look at it. But the point is this, they're telling you how they test it. And I can tell you that like governmental accounting, government and municipal accounting and not-for-profit, all right? They've only tested that as multiple choice.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just trying to pull up the blueprint as we're talking.
But, you know, I think the thing is, all right, what you should do, I mean, really, you have to look at these blueprints. And, you know, you want to say to yourself, do I know it? You know, and I tell people this. I said, read the blueprint and ask yourself, could you explain it to Phil Yeager?
Well, do you see, this is the thing, right? Because the world is changing right now and everything is going online. Everything, look, right now, instead of doing a face-to-face, we're doing this, a Zoom call, right? So a lot of people are not online learners. And some of these courses, they're just, you know, you're just listening to the tape and you're like, they're talking in a language that you're not familiar with, though it's in English, but they're just going through these concepts that sound like a foreign language. And then now you're alone in your room trying to figure out this material. And back in the day, they used to have classroom type settings
where you could interact with the professor and ask questions. Yeah, you still have that ability now online, but it's not the same. And so what we bring together is the online component. The students bring the materials in, because I mean, that's the most efficient way nowadays for businesses to get their products out there. But we provide a hybrid approach where you have human beings to respond to some of the questions that may be neurons, because at the end of the day, you may kind of understand it, but you just need this one question to be answered or explained in a different way so that you could comprehend it. So not only looking at the blueprint, because again, that I always tell people, because you have your PhD, I mean, you're a doctor as well. So the thing is that we write in a different way. We write the academic way of writing, or we write, we do our research and our articles. These are professional, highly intelligent people who are writing these books, and their language that they use may not be the language we use day to day, and it gets confusing. English is my third language. So I'm speaking from experience, because you hear, you're like, wait a minute, what are they saying? So you need not only read the blueprint, but sometimes you need a translator of that blueprint. And that's the key. That's the key.
That's the tutoring, isn't it?
That's the tutoring.
That's about as close to running a live course as I remember teaching, you know, live course.
Right.
The one-on-one. And, you know, a lot of people say, you know, my course is fine. But, you know, really, when you think about it, these courses who say, and they do push some of these supplementary courses, okay? I know, like, Becker sort of says, well, you can take another 71, all right, as a supplement, all right? Mm-hmm. And they're all doing that. There's some, they have their course, and then they say, but, you know, as a supplement, you might want to take the ABC course. There's a lot of these supplement courses that are coming out.
Right.
All right. And I look at it this way. All right. If there's so many supplement courses after the, you know, the full courses, all right, mm-hmm. Are they covering? Are they admitting in so many words they're not covering it enough? All right.
Are they not? Just because you pass the exam doesn't make you an instructor or a teacher. That's some of the things that I'm seeing out there. There are a lot of people who pass in 3 months and they open up shop and say, okay, I could get you passed in 3 months. But you may be a different person. You may process information.
Your voice is a little muffled. I don't know.
Oh.
There we go.
No, you hear me? So I said that there are a lot of those supplemental materials that are coming out that are people who passed under 3 months or 6 months. And everyone is different. It's great that they passed in 3 months, but not everyone is not working full time. They don't have a family that they have to take care of. They're not just sitting home and studying all day. So we have to be mindful that the world.
I'm just curious. Do you have paper on a microphone or something?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. All right. No. All right. Go ahead.
Yes. So I was saying, I was playing with a piece of paper. So yeah. So the thing is that, the thing is that just because you pass doesn't necessarily mean that you can be a tutor or an instructor. That's why they're professors. That's why there's training. There's a technique of teaching that is slowly being lost with a lot of these online courses what's being lost is the individual being able to ask. And you see how we're bantering, we're going back and forth for clarity. Like, you see, you asked me a question, I said something, and I think I responded okay, but then you asked me, kind of clarify that, why? That is what's missing. Because you're just one way feed, you're feeding one way. And that two-way application piece is what's missing in education, because I used to be a professor at a university, but that's what's missing. And now so we're figuring it out in academia, how to be more interactive with the student online. And that is going to be the way of the future, that you have to have some type of hybrid relationship for learning.
See, I think online would work if the person who's online is teaching the material, all right? Like they're standing up there as though there was a class out there. I don't think online, like I take intermediate accounting, all right? Yeah. A lot of them teach it with PowerPoint. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could learn it, intermediate accounting, by PowerPoint. You don't even see the instructor, all right? What's your feeling about that?
But they're both online. They may be a little bit different, but let's just say I'm here and I'm teaching online, but you're not able to ask a question.
So what should that online course then have?
So I think there should be smaller, because people's attention span is just like zero. That's why my boot camps total 8 hours and we cover everything. We don't do it in one sitting because the attention span is short, but we do break it up into 2 hour modules so that we cover the most of the things and then they go back and reinforce. So anyway, so the point is that we have to break it down to about 45 minutes or less, or 20 minutes, just enough to understand, process, and then move on. Then there's some type of interaction. Then you go on to the next piece. So you have to break it down into smaller bite sizes. So then you could just, look, we are constantly information overload. We have no time to just think about ourselves anymore. We're on our devices, even when we're alone time, we're still scrolling on some type of thing. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is that now we just scan things. We don't necessarily absorb. And so we need some time in between to really absorb. That's why when I create my study plans, I even put rest. I actually, in my study plan, I say stop. For every 45 minutes, I give them a respite so that their brain could stop focusing on it. And you're actually more productive. That's what research has said. You become more productive when you study or you do approach your workday that way. You do a 45 minute meeting, you take a 10 minute break, then you go do another meeting. That's how I break up studying and also the tutoring sessions.
Do you get questions from the people you deal with, the students, because they all want to know this. How many months will it take for me to study the best financial accounting?
What it depends. It depends on who you are. One, if you're working in financial accounting, then you may have been exposed to a lot of the materials. That could be
realistically exposed to that material.
Sometimes, because I have somebody who works. I have some few people who work in like the non-for-profit. I mean, that's like 10%. So they got exposed to that.
Like, is a few
months, I'm just, 10%, 10, 20, 15.
But consolidations, what I find with that.
Nobody. I don't think people are exposed to that.
Well, the way they teach it in the advanced accounting books, all right, is so different.
I know.
The way it's tested on the exam.
I agree.
And now, do you tell the people anything about, I don't know if the people realize this, the exam is basically, the exam, if you take it, is graded by computers scanning.
Yeah, I know.
Scan the answers. So there's really no people actually live who are grading it at that point.
Yep.
Right? All right. So then someone says, I know these courses are still asking people to do large consolidation problems for homework. That's what the course is, right?
Well, I don't, because I use a couple of them. And see, look, what we teach in the, see, this is the problem. This is the disconnect of education in this country. This is why you're going to get me started now. Sorry, midway into our conversation. The educational system is not preparing future professionals. Because they take this, they
preparing them to take the CPA exam.
Not taking the CPA exam, not being an effective worker in the workplace. It's not. So a lot of people are going into universities they study, which is just basically memorizing, regurgitating what the teacher said in the classroom or the video, or you have a multiple choice open book. So you just look it up in Google and you just put it in and you get an A and you think you know stuff. So then now you're faced with the CPA exam, which is completely, you don't have a tool. You don't have Google or whatever, Bing or whatever you use. You don't have a search engine. And then now you have to rely on yourself. You have spent 4 years plus, you know, plus the extra
year,
5 years, right? Sometimes they have it compressed down to four, but 5 years of schooling. Mm-hmm. And then you have no clue how to approach the exam. Your example about they have a one course about a business advanced accounting. That's the course they usually call it. Advanced accounting. That's one section, like maybe one section in FAR. And it's completely different. It's like kind of like a squeeze, kind of really condensed version of that whole course. And it just doesn't really completely align. That's the problem with the courses and the CPA exam. Then I have another problem. People come out of school, because I run an audit department, as you mentioned in my intro, and I've run and I've worked at Deloitte and the Big Four and blah, 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 and banking and stuff. And I hire people. They come out of school and they do not know how to perform in the workplace. So then now I have to figure out, is the workplace the issue or the people coming out, or a combination of the two, because they're not prepared. Some of them they cannot even write a memo.
That's true.
And that's part of the CPA exam. I mean, and forget about it. And they can't communicate. And they expect vacation. Like, I mean, it's just incredible on the level of expectation that they have at the workplace. And I'm just so confused where they're getting it. And they're ill prepared to run or to perform certain auditing, information technology, security, because that's my sweet spot, tasks in the workplace. So I don't understand, even their resumes. I'm like, who helped you with this thing? They have career centers. I'm just so shocked on where we are. And then we need new people, new blood, new ideas in. But everyone is like, well, I'm just going to start my own thing. But we need some kind of order in approach on how we do things in the workplace. And we're just losing our way. So yes.
We're coming out with this evolution, right? They're changing the exam January of 2024.
Right.
Now, I'm going to quote the ASCPA Examination Division, all right? Because I asked them this question, all right? How are all the schools, big and small, going to have the correct curriculums so that now you're going to start asking on the exam all this highfalutin information technology, like digital analytics, all right, artificial intelligence. And, you know, I remember one meeting, they said, oh, we're going to make sure that all the schools have the curriculums, okay? And, you know, first of all, what about a small school who doesn't have the money to find someone to teach just digital analytics? All right. I mean, yeah, big schools like, Notre Dame maybe, or, whatever, they're already hiring these people, and they're probably teaching it already. But the thing is, they're not being realistic. In fact, their feeling is, and they said this too, I remember this quote from someone at the SCPA. They said, well, the review courses will teach it to you. That's what they said. Okay. All right.
Well, because they realize that the educational system that's current doesn't necessarily align with the exam. That's just reinforcing what I just said a few minutes ago. Because then that just shows the inequality of, huh?
What'd you say, Black Scholes? Did you say
Black Scholes? No. I said the inequality of education.
Okay.
Because to when you talk about the community schools, they don't have the matrix materials coming to them and having a contract with them to get review courses in the schools and stuff like that? No. So again, it becomes a problem with accessibility of information. It trickled down. Yeah, it's who's going to get it and when. A lot of the schools are already doing data analytics and have that in the curriculum with the anticipation of the changes coming forth. But that alignment that you're talking about, I don't think it's going to take a couple of years for it to really get into the school systems, because we react very slowly in the university systems.
Right. So the question is, should they have started this new evolution thing, all right, beyond January of 2024 and, announce?
Or they come to me and then I help them pass. I'll be the liaison.
So you teach all that digital analytics?
No, I don't teach. I have staff people. I have staff people who do those type of things. I know my limitations. But the point is that if you don't know the material, you have to go outside of your normal academic routine to get the information you need. It may be an online course or an entrepreneurial, not just TAPA Institute, but some other place for you to get that knowledge that's needed to pass. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you just need to pass this. Just get a 75. That's the point. And if you need to not, you cannot be dependent on your school if your school is not providing the courses you need. But to your point, was it well thought out? Look, it doesn't sound like they have enough runway to actually launch this well enough, but they will launch it, and then we will try to figure out back end how to
deal with it. Yeah. They say they don't curb the exam. Okay.
So tell me, I'm going to switch the table on you asking me questions, but yeah, they say they don't curb, but how can it be statistically across every year about-ish 48?
Well, the way they grade the exam, okay, is first of all, the first round, they used to have a test period, we'd go.
Yeah, I remember those.
Okay. All right, now it's, of course, every day. But the thing is, all right, what they would do is they take a cutoff of what papers, because you're competing against everyone else, really.
Yes, right? That's right.
And, all right, they grade it. And they look for a certain cutoff score. It's sort of like playing golf, after two rounds or something of golf, if it's four rounds, all right, if you don't get a certain par, all right, you're cut from the tournament. Well, here, all right, what they do is they look at all the papers and they have a cut score that they know they'll accept. They don't tell us, all right. And if you make that cut score, all right, then you continue to be in the pack, possibly you can pass. The people who don't get the cut score, they're cut, okay?
Yeah.
All right, then after that, all right, they have all these people who made the cut, all right? They know, all right, they know exactly what percentage of people they want to pass.
Yes. Right?
If you look at it, it's always about the same,
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what they do is they take, if they want 40% to pass in financial, then they'll take the top 40% of the grades that made that cut, okay? Mm-hmm. All right? In other words, the top 40 people, top 40% will pass that part. And then, all right, then they will take that grade and somehow convert it to the 74, 75.
Correct. They kind of do the bell curve kind of thing.
Right, and it's a big secret. But I had lunch with someone. Mike Decker was nice enough to have lunch with me, and I asked them how they grade the exam. And in fact, if you really want to know, all right, I did a podcast with Mike. I was surprised he actually was one of the guests, all right? And it was just audio at the time. So if you go to look at the podcast, we have all our podcasts that we've done on the Ager CPA Review website. Pick out the one that says Mike Decker, all right? Director of Examinations, all right, how they actually grade the exam, all right, and you can listen to it. Now,
Phil, Phil, before you continue,
yes.
When you post my podcast, can you also put his underneath? because I think that's worthwhile. So then that way, when they do listen to this, they can come and listen to that piece of it as opposed to going out. And then I'll be happy to share that with my clientele, because this is why it's so important to have professionals like
us. So do you want me to put, which one do you want first? Mike Decker?
Yes, Mike Decker's did.
Okay, yeah. So Mike Decker, I think, would be first.
Well, he could, right, you'll put, yeah, you'll put,
I just
when
wrote,
you do your thing, then I you just say.
Wrote Mike Decker. Sorry, Mike. Right, Mike Decker.
Yeah, right. Becker I'll on the mind.
And then I'll put yours second after that. We'll call it a two-parter, okay?
That's fine.
All right, yeah, we can do that. That's a good idea. And, you know.
Well, actually, you should put mine first and his second.
Okay. We'll
because, put, I mean, you know, I am the CPA doctor.
That's true. That's true. And by the way, do you do colonoscopies?
No. Whoa.
By the way, you know, I actually, you know, I was telling this, you know, when students call me, I answer the phone. Anyway, I said, how's this pandemic working? And a student said to me, oh God, I don't even get to see the doctor anymore. All right, it's all on a Zoom call. So yeah. I said, yeah, I said, I agree with you. I said, in fact, last week I had a colonoscopy on Zoom, okay? And it was very painful because I didn't handle the camera correctly. All right, so.
Oh boy.
Is that? The person thought, are you kidding me? They did that? No, I said, no.
No, they were joking. It's a joke.
All right, but yeah, everything is Zoom, you know. I don't.
But you know what? I during the pandemic, though it was scary in the beginning, once we got into the groove of it, the pandemic was an opportunity for us to kind of regroup. During the pandemic, I actually accomplished so much. That's when I published my book. I completed my doctorate because I was just kind of putzing around for a couple of years with that. And so I completed it. So at the end of the day,
when and also this, you ran the New York Marathon, did you not?
No.
Go ahead.
But you know, it's like you have to seize these opportunities. That's important. Really, there's bad things that happen in our lives. And trust me, I just had recently had a few of them. And it made me think about and be appreciative of what I have. And the people that I've touched and the lives and my life, how I'm constantly changing. So the CPA exam is just a stepping stone. It is the beginning of a long journey. And you know, I have had clients who I started out helping them with the CPA exam. We realized they're not a CPA. They're not a CPA. And now they're looking into doing the CFP, Certified Financial Planner. So being a CPA may not be, you know, your calling. And you just sometimes have to just face that. You just have to deal with it. And that's a blessing.
How come you never took the CMA? I'm just curious. You don't show that.
Yeah, I haven't taken that exam yet. Right now, you know what exam I'm registered to. I don't like talk. Anyway, there's an exam that I'm planning to take in the future.
It's Forensic accounting.
No. Yeah. It's the CISSP, which is
what is that?
That's an IT. That's information security. Look, this is the way of the world. So it's an information security exam.
Is that you're going to do that after you run the New York Marathon again, right? Where are you going to find the time to do these things?
It's certified information system security professional.
So is there a review course or are you going to study on your own?
I'm going to study on my own.
I mean, starting to make a joke out of these certifications. There's a certification.
Yeah, you know. Because you know what it is? And people always ask me, look, I like taking these exams because I like learning. I like trying to figure it. I love learning. So I like going through that because I don't have anything attached to it. Because that's how I started my business, actually. I started my business because I landed my dream job. And they said, hey, Sabine, you need to pass the certification. I'm not going to tell you which one, certification exam, right? Within a year's time, or you're going to be fired. So I was like, what's the big deal? I could do this. So I took the exam and I failed because my mind was not right. I was like, if I lose this job, my kids are going to be homeless. We're going to have to, like, you know, yeah, I just, this the things, the craziness.
By the way, Sabine is just mentioning this because she's getting a soap opera on ABC. She's in discussions now. Go ahead. Is that what, that's what you're talking about? Go ahead, Sabine.
I'm going to bring out the tissue and everything else.
Yes. You
know? But it was so stressful. I kept on failing and failing. I had to be rushed to the doctor. I had neck pain that I had to get shots for. I mean, that's how stressed I was. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job. What am I going to do? It freaked me out so much. And I had to go so deep to figure out what was going on. And once I cracked that code, that's when I said, I have to start this business.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the only one. I was just freaking out to the point where I used to go to a review class and the teacher was like, oh, you should be an instructor. And I'm thinking, no, I need to pass the exam. Yeah. I'm like, I know, no, I need to pass. So sometimes it's just, you got to figure out the combination, the secret sauce. And this is why I say, you know, kind of take a look at these materials, look to see what best resonates and what fits the underlying mission. Then you pick the course. Sometimes free is not always the best, but sometimes free, it's free, so you use it. But you got to figure out what is the best course for you. And it does come down to dollars and cents. I understand that. I get it. I'm on a budget. I used to be a single mom, so I get it. So you have to figure out what's the best approach. Is it a tutor? Is it not a tutor? Is it taking a class? Is it not taking a class? What material out there is the best one for you financially and in terms of concepts?
It's sort of like buying a car.
It's like finding a mate. Here goes back to my auditing story.
Is that another business you're going into? Imagine two accountants finding each other. God,
that would be fun. I know. I'll be like the audit love matchmaking.
Yeah, you could have the love connection of accountants.
Yeah, exactly.
What day of the week would you do that one?
Oh, I have to give up a couple of other things.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, you go buy a car. I mean,
yeah, you're right.
You don't take the car and you test drive it. All right. You look into it. See which one is best for you. And that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, you have to. You have to test drive it to see, not just, okay, I'm just going to get this car. Then you may not like how it works. And then you're stuck with it.
Yeah.
So testing.
It's like, sort of these, dating services.
You're talking about the dating services. See, exactly. I convinced you. My hypnosis worked.
It did. Did you hypnotize me and I didn't realize it?
You see?
I felt a little funny. I don't know. And if you notice, I didn't smoke during this 45 minutes. Well, I don't smoke anyway, but we've been talking quite a while and it's been a lot of fun. Has it been fun?
Yes, it was. I'm smiling. I'm
having. And we should do this again. There's so much more we could talk about, right?
Sure. Yes.
So anyway, today we had on the podcast, all right, Dr. Sabine Charles. And remember, if you want tutoring, all right, give her. How do you get in touch with you?
Yes, if you need tutoring, please come. Go to my website, and hopefully, you could put it in the podcast. Down at the bottom of the description, TAPAInstitute.com. TAPAInstitute.com. Or you could find me on Instagram, the CPA Doctor.
And, all right, Sabine will get you through the exam. And by the way, I can say this, she's better than those other tutors that are out there We call those baby CPAs, okay? All right. She is, this woman is experienced, you know, she'll get you through. You know, everyone in the world is becoming a tutor, you know, it's, and that's what you were talking about. You know, not very few people know how to teach, okay? All they do is they regurgitate to you. That's all they do. All right. And by the way, that's not a medical term. All right. They regurgitate the stuff. They don't explain it to you. All right. They just say, memorize this, memorize that, memorize. No, no, no. You have to understand what you're doing. Correct, Sabine?
I agree 110%. You have to understand the concepts.
Well, anyway, thank you, Dr. Sabine Charles, for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
By the way, within a week, week and a half, this podcast will be on. Go to our website, JaegerCPAReview.com, look for the podcast, and I would play this again, you know, listen to it. And we'll combine it with Mike Decker's, you know, about how they grade the exam. I think together will work out well, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. That's next. Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, we're here to provide information and help people really understand the mechanics of the exam and also get them passed.
I totally agree with you, Sabine. Okay. By the way, where are you now? You're not in New York.
No. I'm in Virginia right now. I am also at my second home, trying to relax a little bit in between. But heading back to New York this Friday.
Well, this coming week, right?
Yeah, this coming week.
Yeah, well, have a safe trip. Drive safely.
Thank you.
Stay well. Good health to you.
And yes, you too.
Remember, every Tuesday we have a new podcast. It's video audio. If there is a subject that you want me to discuss, I will try to get someone. By the way, no one ever contacts me. I say this every time. All right. But anyway, just go to my website. You know what? I'm going to give you my email address. All right. Go to phil.jaeger. Make sure you spell Jaeger right. Y-A-E-G-E-R. phil.jaeger@aol.com. Or if you want to call me, all right, my number is 301-874-4900. And you'll be surprised I even answer the phone, all right? In fact, I took a call Saturday. I said, hello, this is Phil Jaeger. What? Who? They were shocked that I answered the phone. She says, I didn't expect you to answer the phone. So what I said is, I'm going to hang up then, all right? But anyway, all right. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening and watching. And we'll see you again next time for another podcast of CPA Review and More. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And by the way, be nice to people. All right. This pandemic, I thought we'd change that, but there's still people who are nasty and angry. All right. Don't be
nice to yourselves also.
That's correct.
To yourselves.
All right. Take care, everyone. See you again.